Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin."
Morning, everybody. Got my water, I got my tissues, got my cough drop. I should be good to go this morning. All right. So, you guys all know of my love for movies. There's a kind of movie I really don't like. I don't like scary movies. And I went to a couple when I was a teenager with my friends. Notably, I went and saw Halloween and Friday the 13th. Wasn't worth my time. There were girls there at the movie, so might have had ulterior ideas. But I don't like scary movies. I don't like not knowing where the next problem is going to happen, where somebody's going to jump out and get somebody. You know, especially when you identify with a character and you like that character and something happens to them, not good. Well, this seems to be the time of year for scary things. It's strange. The world already has enough scary things in it. I don't know why we need to invent more scary things, but, you know, people like to have those scary movies. People like to dress up in scary costumes this time of year. So it's a scary time of year. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is fear. You know, as David just read, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." So in reading this, you'd think, wait a minute, do not fear, but fear. At first glance, the title suggests a paradox in the counsel that Moses gave the people. Do not be afraid and fear him almost seems to be at odds with one another. The people are called upon not to be afraid, yet to fear. These admissions, however, I hope we'll see by the end of the message that they're not contradictory, but complementary. There's a number of fears in the Bible. And sometimes we read of cowardice in the Bible. That's an unwillingness to act because one is afraid of the consequences. One of the ones that I always considered when I was privileged to serve as an elder, I used to look back in the scriptures and read about the Pharisees and the rulers of the people and how they were scared of the people. And I always thought you should never be scared of the people that you're leading. I don't know though. The people in the Bible have a tradition for wanting to stone their leaders, so maybe you should. But there's a cowardice that people will not do what is right because they're afraid of the consequences. At other times, it means to be terrified. It's an emotional reaction to sudden trouble. At other times, it means to have a reverent respect. Most often in the Bible, the word fear is connected with God in a sense of reverential respect. It means to stand in awe of God and recognize His superiority and authority. This is often referred to as the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever." So fear of the Lord is a good kind of fear. God's people are always called upon to have fear or respect for God and His words. In fact, this demanded fear was often used as a synonym for obedience. Israel, before entering the land of Canaan, they were told by Moses in Deuteronomy 6:2 that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Fear was also used in this way at the imminent death of Joshua. In Joshua 24:14, the scripture says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him sincerely and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Fear in the face of the judgment of God is deemed necessary and obvious as a result of facing his judgment unprepared. In this sense, fear is terror or dread at what is coming. Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 31 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant which was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." I don't think people understand what it's like to be before God. We think we understand what shock and awe is. We think we understand what fear is. We think we understand what wonder is. There are going to be people that stand before God on judgment day, and it's going to be terrifying for them because they're not ready. They're not understanding the precepts that God has given us. They're not understanding his love, and they're not obeying what he's asked us to do. This fear or terror is that which children of God seek to avoid. They have this opportunity to live without fear in this sense. 1 John 4:17 through 19 says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." The Christian does not have to live in fear of judgment. The Christian has love, the love of God, and we can stand boldly before him. This concept of standing boldly before God is a hard concept. You know, we're told that we can boldly approach the throne of grace as Christians. I read examples in the scripture of people who went and stood before angels that were terrified, much less standing before God. I think it's a blessing that we need to grasp and understand more deeply. We don't have to live in terror before God because we know he loves us, and that love has made a way for us to be forgiven and be saved. Many who live in uncertainty or fear fail to understand the love of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I think we don't understand how patient God is with us sometimes. We need to grasp onto his patience. He's wanting us to be part of his kingdom. He wants us to be in heaven with Him. We need to be able to face our fears. You know, there is such a thing as a practical fear. A fear as an emotion can be a practical response. It is an understanding that the consequences of certain actions need to be avoided. An old song says, "That's why you don't tug on Superman's cape." You understand implicitly that that's not a good thing to do because you know what the consequences can be. A lack of this kind of fear can cause people to act recklessly. The practical fear may be missing in the younger set, especially boys. Okay. I'm sure you have the appropriate amount of fear. Anyway, in this sense, practical fear is not a negative thing. The fool is fearless because the fear is based on knowledge. A baby has to be watched because he or she has not learned the consequences of dangerous behavior. On the spiritual side, concerning our relationship with God, one who has fear understands the consequences of disobeying God and is not willing to do so. He's not going to test God. He's going to act accordingly and not live a sinful life. Instead, one who has a practical fear seeks to avoid sin and neglect and walk the path that God has appointed. Sometimes we have the fear of the future. And I see this every day. I see this in people who watch the stock market and they're afraid of what's going to happen with all their earthly treasures. I see this in people that I talk with that are afraid for their life due to illnesses that they have. They have anxiety about the future. They have a concern about what will life be like. I like my life now. We have to be able to deal with our fear of the future. Anxiety is stress which comes from a lack of trust in God. Don't anybody go out of here and say that Alan said you can't have an emotion that you fear the future. It's human. I have them. But we don't want those things to overcome us. We don't want those things to direct our path. Many times, anxiety expresses itself in terms of hopeless despair and is often self-incriminating. Jesus treats worry as an illegitimate fear of the future, and that's contradictory to our faith. You know, Kara and I faced our own path when I heard she had cancer. That was not a good day for me. Yes, I was the brave husband, and I tried to be positive for her, but that wasn't a good time. I know many of you have faced that in your life. I've also seen the example in your life where you don't let that fear dominate what you're going to do. You continue to be faithful to God and put your faith and trust in Him. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Satan tries to tell us that we have no value. Satan tries to tell us that there's no hope for us. Satan will use our fear of the future to try to damage us and keep us from looking with hope towards our eternal reward. He will try to take our faith away and cause us to leave our Father. Don't let Him do it. We need to face the future with faith.
This type of fear may be difficult to identify. We may view this attitude as natural or as a simple concern for necessary things, but Jesus condemns it as a lack of faith. It can paralyze a person and make him inactive or negligent. The rich young ruler of Matthew chapter 19 was afraid to give it all away, and thus it kept him from being a disciple. What do you mean, sell all my goods and give them to the poor and follow you? Are you crazy? Do we have anxiety about the future? Do we value our goods here on earth more than our faith in God? We need to also deal with the fear of rejection. We all want others to think well of us so that when we face doing things others may not like, we hesitate. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." So many people are led into the paths of sin because others around them were leading the way. Peter denied knowing Jesus because of those around him in Matthew 26:69-75. Several followed Jesus while he was on earth, but they did so secretly for fear of others, according to John 19:38. Remember, Nicodemus came to him at night because he was afraid of other people. However, our salvation comes through our willingness to take a public stand for the Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'll be teaching on that in a few weeks, so just hang around for that one. It's unfortunate that some people value their position with men more than their position with God. Jesus was maligned, and we will be as well. But we should not fear man because God is watching over us. Sometimes we have to deal with the fear of pain and discomfort. Every time I walk into a convalescent center, it scares me because I know what the future may hold. Our health is, I want to be Jiminy Cricket and live till 103. That probably isn't going to happen. And if I do, my mind's probably not going to be there. We cannot allow fear of pain and discomfort to dominate our lives. Most of us want to be comfortable. Many will put off seeing a dentist solely to avoid the discomfort of having their teeth examined and repaired. Similarly, many Christians will do just about anything to avoid a confrontation. Yet when Paul was thrown out of the city and stoned, he re-entered the city, according to Acts 14:19-20. God expects us to remain faithful even to the point of death, Revelations 2:10. With God on our side, there are only limited things men can do to us. Psalms 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Sometimes we deal with the fear of failure. Jesus' parable of the talents is a story about the negative impact of fear. Matthew 25:24-30. "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Don't let fear of failure dominate your life. Don't be paralyzed. Do something. The fear of failing is a powerful immobilizer. We would rather stay where we are than risk the unknown and fail. This is why God told Gideon to send away all those who were afraid of battle. In Judges 7:2-3, he tells them that if you're afraid, go home. An army of the fearful is no army at all. Fear spreads rapidly from one person to another as each begins to realize what failure could bring. Let's go over, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8. Then the officers shall speak further to the people and say, "Who is the man that is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his house, so that he might not make his brothers' hearts melt like his heart." There's a scene in Band of Brothers where they get a guy off the battlefield because he's going to spook everybody else. We need to be careful that we're not immobilized by fear. Because of fear, many will not become a child of God. Because of fear, many will not grow as Christians, and they will not apply themselves to their new service to the King. Because of fear, they will lose their souls. I'm afraid to talk to somebody about Christ. I'm afraid to go to somebody and talk to them about their sin in a loving manner. I'm afraid what might happen. Let's not be afraid. Let's be bold. Let's go talk to people. Let's be profitable servants. Ultimately, many of us have a fear of death. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus died to release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15. How many of us walk around in a world where we're afraid of death and we're in bondage to it? It seems like every time you watch the news, they're trying to scare you. And we have a bunch of people that walk around and they're afraid of everything. Live your life. Understand that we have a Father who loves us. Do not be afraid. We are afraid of the unknown, and who knows what lies beyond the grave? The Christian knows. The child of God should not fear death, but the death of our loved ones becomes a real test of our faith in God. How do we face death? How do we face the future? The world is consumed with the pursuit of long life. We want to live forever because we fear death, but Jesus is the only answer to that fear. You know, I don't see him as much as I used to, but at one time, everybody had shirts and hats and whatever else, fashionistas, that said, "No fear," right? I'd see that on the back of pickup trucks sometimes. No fear. You see it everywhere. Fearlessness is often thought of as a very positive trait. But some fear is good, and in fact, it's necessary. The false bravado of the humanist is a sham. They are simply treasuring up for themselves the wrath of God. Many live in fear every day. Romans 21:8 says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You know, this false no fear, I'm going to live my life by my terms. That's the life of a sinner. They do things what they want. They live selfishly. If we have fear of the Lord, we'll live life on His terms. And we'll have the proper fear. And we won't be afraid of the things of this world. The Christian can live without fear by living in the fear of the Lord. One of the first occurrences of the word fear in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, when God says to Abraham, after his willing sacrifice of Isaac, Now I know you fear me. You respect me. You love me. You understand who I am and how awesome I am. How great I am. Fear is equivalent to faith in this sense. When we put our trust in God and do what God says, we have nothing to fear. Psalms 33, 18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. We fear the Lord, and He watches out for us. We're not alone in this world. We don't have to worry about the future. God is watching out for us. He's on our side. He's our shield. The fear of the Lord is central to our salvation. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Acts 10, 34 through 35. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. God wants us to be with Him, and He's made a way for us. When we hear His words and believe that He trusts us with His word, when we believe in what He says, guess what? We can repent of our sins and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we can be baptized, putting our old man away, rising to walk in newness of life, not having to fear this world, but having a proper respect for God and a love for Him for what He's done for us through His Son. And then we can live life truly and really. We can live life on the right terms. This morning, if we can help you become a Christian, if we can help you with your fears, we would love to pray with you. We'd love to baptize you if you need it. Don't be afraid to take that step to come forward. Please come while we stand and sing.